Temptation's always near, but if God's your doorkeeper, then only He, you need me.
Different kinds of knives, which knives are used for different types of food, and how to make do with the knives you already own. The program is free, but pre-registration is required at LorainePublicLibrary.org. Get your card today.
For more than 75 years, the VA Home Loan Benefit has helped millions of eligible veterans and service members achieve their piece of the American dream, a home for their families. Did you know that you could purchase a home or refinance your current home loan with your VA Home Loan Benefit? VA Home Loans have lower closing costs and generally enjoy lower interest rates than other borrowers. The VA Home Loan may save you thousands of dollars on your mortgage. For more information, visit www.va.gov or talk to a lender of your choice. Choose VA.
I remember when he saved my life. Everything before that was just a blur. I was wild, living real foul. I just want right.
We are live at the studios of WNZN Power 89.1 with Mark Ballard in the air chair for the Sherry Show and at noon, Nana's Corner. But I think Nana may get here a little bit early today. But I am here today with a very special guest in the studio. We have Coach Damian Creel. Damian Creel has joined the Lorain City Schools in 2021. Now, he is our football coach. He is a great, well-sought-after football coach throughout the state of Ohio, and we are honored to have him here in Ohio. Now, before that, he was a teacher in Beechwood High School and led their football program for 6 years. Coach Creel also has worked for several programs, including Glenville, St. Ed's High School, Richmond Heights, Cleveland Heights, and Bedford. He's part of the African American Football Coaches Alliance and Build the Bridge program. He graduated from Hiram College, where he played football and baseball, and was inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame in 2019. Everyone, put those hands together out there in the listening audience and welcome Coach Damian Creel. What's up, Coach?
Hey, how we doing? Blessed and honored to be here.
Amen. I am doing the best I can. You finally made it to the big time, Lorain High School, man.
Yes, D1 Region 1.
We are so proud of the Lorain High School in this city, man. And to add great people like you, it just makes it, as the old folks would say, gooder and gooder and gooder, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you, man. So say hello to the people.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad to be here, humbled to be here. Finally, we're able to do this interview. We've been talking about it for a while now, and our schedules kind of met so we can make it happen.
I'm trying to build an entire show around Coach because though he builds great athletes, he built incredible men. And that is what we needed. That's what we were looking for. That's what we desire in this community, coming from a great coach. And not just a coach of athletics, but a coach of life. So for that, you the man. Thank you for what you're doing for our young people. And I'll just jump to parts of this. And I know I have some questions already in my mind. Mm-hmm. But how in the world can this community get behind you, support your efforts, and really get in tune. Because being on the school board, being here part of this community and graduating from these schools, I get the question often, how can we help? How can we help? So that is a question that I'm going to pose to you. And if it's just showing up to the games and cheering on the kids, that there's a starting point. If it's coming out to the practice and getting a cooler full of juice, then that's another part. If it's helping kids who, you know, maybe need some help buying some shoes or some socks, let us know. How can we help your program?
Well, first and foremost, the community of Lorain has been wonderful and has welcomed me in, and I really appreciate that. I haven't been able to meet the community like I wanted to based off the COVID and pandemic and people still sometimes not want to be out. But what can people do? I think they've started to do that. Obviously, coming to games and supporting our kids is there and is the easiest thing to do on Friday night in the fall. We held a virtual blitz that ended up doing great. We made over $7,000 of our kids, sending out emails of family and friends and people around the community. And the community stepped up and helped us earn money for we can, again, rewind and put that back into the kids. So to buy the equipment and the shoes and things. I think our kids are in such need of everything right now. We're always willing to have people come around and watch practice. I was just able to meet with the Lorain police chief. We talked about the leadership portion of our kids and athletes and how we can make the school a better atmosphere.
He has been so excited about that. So yeah. Prior to COVID, so you know I'm a chaplain at the police department.
Okay.
And prior to COVID shutting everything down, as he first came into his chiefhood, one of his first things that he wanted to do was empower the leaders of our athletic mm-hmm. programs mm-hmm. and really make them the ambassadors of our schools, of our young people, and here in the community to make them examples of that's the idea, kid, that we should be following, and let's make them the leaders that they really are, or let's help them mm-hmm. be the natural leaders that they are. So don't think he just thought of this last night, because he's been talking about this before the COVID yep. shut us all down when he first came there.
And that's exactly what he said. And we sat down, we brainstormed, and, you know, we're going to get together and see how we can make that work, because the kids need it. I think the community needs it.
Amen.
And I think some of the adults need to see our kids in that role, which might change them as well.
Amen. So I talked briefly about some of your accomplishments as you were getting prepared for Lorain, because I think they were all helping you get prepared for your mm-hmm. task here. So you know I'm Lorain proud, so yep. I'm always going to take yep. credit for Lorain.
Yep.
But why did you choose Lorain? What would make you come to this community with all the choices you had around the nation?
I can't say. I think Lorain chose me.
Amen.
And I was reached out by a friend. I can call him a friend now, Dave McFarlane, about the opening.
Yeah. He was selling you hard, too, man.
Yeah, and I really didn't know much about Lorain. I knew a little bit about Lorain's athletic programs. The basketball program has been very good lately. And the football program in 2000 was coming around when Dave took over. Hmm. And I interviewed and talked, had a great conversation with my wife about it. You know, I still live in Cleveland as of now, so I'm taking a 40-minute ride every day, which is not bad because it's all highway. But, you know, interviewed and each interview I had, I got to meet more and more people from Lorain, and the people just sold me. I'm a big people person. I'm a big relationship person. So the more I met people, the more I was sold on it, and the possibilities and the potential of Lorain. I think Lorain hasn't reached its potential yet.
So coming into this, so I played football. I graduated class of 86 here. And when I was in school, and prior to me even getting into high school, so we had Lorain Catholic, Lorain High, Admiral King, Southview, Clearview, with some of the power. And we all had our own niche, right? So Lorain High was probably then big in football. Mm-hmm. Admiral King, they had the Shot Palace over there, so they were going to state, you know, on the regular for their basketball team. And Southview was the big wrestling team. Mm-hmm. And Lorain Catholic had some of the more elitist kind of families would send their kids over to the parochial program here in town. All of those schools are gone now except for Clearview and Lorain High. So you take those three powerhouses that Lorain City Schools had by themselves, and you mesh them all into one building. How does the kids who, so now instead of having 150 kids playing football, there's 50 helmets that you get suited up, right? So how did that weed out? And I know we lost some population as well. Mm-hmm. So how do we now fall into that place of building a great program now that you've got all those kids under one roof?
Well, I think it started with, you know, obviously with the pandemic and not playing in 2020, it kind of put me in a situation where we're starting from the ground up, and we're building our foundation. The first thing that I wanted to do was combine the middle schools, which we were able to get done today, this year, where we have, instead of having three middle schools, and the biggest game of the year is being against each other, we're going to try to combine all that talent and have one 8th grade and one 7th grade team. And with the kids we have in Lorain, I believe, you know, when we get things in place, that our middle school program can spark some success. And then when they reach some success in Lorain, then it's going to come up into the high school, and it's just going to snowball. So I think starting there with the youth, and everyone looks at it as a bad thing that we didn't play, but I'm able to come in and my coaching staff, and we're able to build from the ground up. And it's like we're starting a program from scratch. Mm-hmm. And that's no disrespect to the history mm-hmm. of Lorain. There's a lot of history here, talking to the Admiral King folks and the Southview folks. So
A lot of pride.
So we're trying to get it back. And, you know, starting from the ground up, you know, at practice yesterday, we had 27 middle school kids at workouts.
Oh, wow.
In the summertime, 7th and 8th graders, we had about 20 freshmen show up for workouts. So it's starting to snowball. And if we can continue it, then, you know, the sky's the limit. And I honestly and truly believe that.
Amen. So Beachwood, Lorain, what's the similarities and what are some of the differences between those kind of communities, the support of those communities, and the caliber? Are the kids all the same wherever we go?
I think kids are all the same. Okay. Beachwood is obviously fluent. There's a lot of money in Beachwood. But what people don't know, there's a lot of minorities that moved to Beachwood for the academics. And some of those families look like the families here in Lorain.
Okay.
So in terms of that, yes, the community is more fluent. Much smaller school than Lorain, mostly Jewish. But again, a lot of minorities, Russians, Pakistanians, Middle Eastern folks have moved into community to try to get the education. Lorain, issues with kids, I think all issues are the same. I think some of them are a little bit different based on, obviously, location and dynamic of each community. But the challenges are challenges. I think all kids have been through the pandemic. All kids are going through the same thing. And honestly, with being here in Lorain, I feel as though the community is much tighter. And sports in Lorain matter more than they do in Beachwood. And I never really understood why a community wouldn't want sport and academic to be at the same level. You have a lot of parochial schools that do that and have that. And that's something we're shooting for here in Lorain, is to have our academic and our athletic programs to be at the same level. And they matter. You know, they matter to me. I'm where I'm at because of sport. So I think it's important for sports to matter.
Amen. So your predecessor came in right before the pandemic. That year, we really didn't play any sports, and he stayed for a very short window. And then you came, and we were down, and then we had a season. Wasn't they basically a great banners type of season, but during this rebuilding time, and so that's 2 or 3 years of kids who were quasi-involved or not really involved at all. So what is it taking to get the kids re-engaged into the program, and what are the strategies? And again, how can we help?
Dedication and repetition. When the kids came in, and again, it's, I think it's more magnified because of the pandemic, but the consistency of the kids coming every day, just getting them back on track, doing the everyday things that kids need to do, come to school, practice every day. Those are the things we need to get this thing turned around quicker than we need to. And the commitment and sacrifice of what everyone's doing to make a football program successful is what we're doing now. And it's just the dedicated repetition of every day doing the same thing over and over again. Football is very different than a lot of sports. We practice more than we actually play. Mm. You know, basketball, you play more than you actually practice. But
sure.
Football, you get 10 games, you're guaranteed 10 games.
Right.
And there's more practice time in there than actually playing in the game. So, you know, we're focusing on not just football. We're focusing on character development. We're focusing on the social emotional piece of our kids, which is big. So if there's anyone out there that ever wants to stop up at practice, and we're always for people stopping in. I might even ask you to be a chaplain now. I didn't know you did the chaplain for the police. So
yeah.
Having you come in, our kids need to see our community. Our kids need to know that the community wants them to be successful. Because I hear the stories of when the football team made it to the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
I hear when the basketball team went down to state and the camaraderie, the feel, the buzz.
Oh yeah, we take buses and carloads of people.
That's what we need to get back to. And I see it. I hear the passion. So that's what we need. That's what we want. Anything, hands on deck. It takes a village.
Which kind of takes me into my next question of core values, right? So I give you my son at 10, 11, 12 years old. What are the core values? Of course, we want to win. We want to win. I mean, that's just natural. A natural competitor always wants to win. But there's got to be more in the game of life that's being taught versus just to go and run the fastest up the football field. So what are the core values that you kind of build, the pillars that you build your program on?
Well, we have a standard that we live by, and we have posts in our weight room. I'll get back to that. But core values, discipline. I treat all my players like they're my son. My son is 8 years old right now. We have a couple other coaches that have sons that bring their kids to practice. So I tell our kids and my kids that, listen, I'm bringing my son around here because I want him to get to know you guys, and I want you guys to get to know him, because at the end of the day, what I am teaching him is what I'm teaching you and trying to instill in you guys, the discipline, the sacrifice. At some point, you guys are going to be leading a community. You're going to have a family. You're going to be a father. You're going to be a husband. So we want all of those positive qualities that make up a great husband or a great father. We want to instill those into our young men now. And we want them to be productive citizens. At the end of the day, all these kids are going to have to, at some point, football is going to end,
mm-hmm.
regardless of when that time is. Some, it might be later than others, but when they are done playing football, I want to be able to look back at a young man and see that he's been able to make a name for himself. He's been able to support himself, his family, and whatever endeavors that he wants to try to create for himself. So we want to put these kids and create them into being young men.
So back when I was a little fella, I don't remember. We had park intramurals like for baseball and those kind of things. Didn't really have AAU leagues that we knew about, at least that I knew about. If it was happening out in the suburbs. It wasn't happening here in the city core where I was. But some of the best life lessons that I've learned was from my coaches. And when I see them, even though I'm pretty gray now myself, they're still Mr. Whomever, or Coach Whomever. Still remember my favorite teachers, my favorite coaches, the ones who I knew really cared about me versus the ones who had their other favorites, and that just didn't happen to be me at that time. So tell us, how do you shape, because you can't do this all by yourself, right?
No.
So how do you shape a team where you know at the core, even more than just winning the game, you got guys around you who really, really have a heart and a love for our kids, right? How do you figure that out, and who do you got working with you?
It starts with my coaching staff, so you hit it right on the head. And last year, getting here, the staff really wasn't where I wanted it to be. I have a great group of core guys that I brought with me last year. starting with Jeremy Wilt, who's a Lorraine guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in Lorraine for a while, pillar of the community. He's coached at Lorraine High for 20 years, played, graduated. Also, I brought two guys with me from.
So I'm gonna add to the conversation. Yeah. So Nana has come into the room. So
yes.
And Nana used to carry a group of us because at the time Lorraine High School was down here on Washington,
mm-hmm.
and we had to get up to George Daniel for our practice every day. And we had old Ballard Brother group van,
mm-hmm.
and it would probably not be much legal now, but she'd pile 10 or 15 kids
yep.
in there. Whoever could get in there first,
yep.
the other ones had to walk.
Right.
And we just dove in the van. Mm-hmm. Some were on each other's lap, some were sitting in the cargo space in the back, and she moved that whole team
mm-hmm.
up front, and we didn't care who was in there. Whoever got in there got a ride. So
right.
we had my entire varsity team spent the night during our Lorraine High versus Admiral King game, spent the night at my mom's house.
Wow.
Overnight.
Wow.
Yes, 11th and 12th graders. And her cheerleaders came, decorated the whole house out. We brought in cases of pizza. She fed us breakfast the next morning. And every time I get with any of my players, they still talk about spending the night at our house,
mm-hmm.
having the pizza party with all the players, got to do it together. So if she jumps in.
Oh, yes.
Understand.
She better. She better.
Understand, this is Nana. So I'm back to your coaches.
So we got Jeremy Wilt, who's, like I said, a lifer in Lorraine. We have, I brought two guys with me from Cleveland area, Scott Watley, who's my defensive coordinator, who has a wealth of knowledge. I actually played against Scott in college. He went to BW. He's a West Side guy, and his wife works in the district as well. Greg Morrow, who is my special team coordinator, receiver coach, and pass game coordinator, another great guy, coached with me at Beachwood, and he actually coached with Scott previously at John F. Kennedy. He's along with me. Jeremy Wilt is also on my staff. Going to be coaching at the lower levels as well. He's a Lorraine guy as well in the district. Is an intervention specialist, and I hired some young guys, starting with Sly Worthy, alumni.
Yeah, Sly was here last week.
Yes, he was here. That's the one that was here.
Yeah, and he got interviewed last week, and I kind of teased him last week, like, how you get interviewed before me? You know,
but well, I think my mom was getting ready to replace me with him.
Oh
too,
my God,
so,
he's a great kid,
special kid. And
he loves working with you too.
He's a great kid, and graduated from Old State, and was here the next weekend, ready to work, and just wants to dive in and be around the kids, and that's what we're looking for. Another alumni, Kenny Washington, who's a great young man as well. He's going to be coaching our linebackers. Sly is coaching our D-line. Deshaun Brooks was also a graduate, just graduated
mm-hmm.
from Tiffin.
Mm-hmm.
He just came on. He'll be coaching at the lower levels as well. John McDermott, who's a kid from Clearview. And he's going to be coaching.
Is he a young kid?
He's a young kid.
So
and his dad's John.
With his dad.
And his dad has also joined the staff as well. So we got dad and son.
His
which
dad
is,
was a year under me.
Yeah, great. He was the head basketball coach at Olmsted Falls, and now he came back here to Lorraine. He's helping out Coach Feldman with the girls.
Got a lot of heart. They care a lot about kids.
So essentially, we're looking for guys, number one, that are impactful and know how to build a relationship with kids. And every single one of those guys that I just mentioned, and I forgot one guy, Justin Sturgill.
Okay.
Just graduated from Mount Union.
Yeah.
Canton's coming around, and he's going to be helping out as well. So I got a great core of young guys, and I got a great core of old guys, and it's matching very well right now with everything. And what was important to me was get young people around our kids who have walked their steps before they walked them.
Yeah.
But Justin Sturgill, you have Sly, you have Kenny, and you have John McDermott Jr. And I look at them all as being outliers because they're going against the norm. They're doing everything that everybody said you can't do.
Mm.
And I think that's important. I think some of the coaches on our coaching staff are outliers. You know, you're talking about black men who have master's degrees, and that's not normal. And
right. That
doesn't mean it can't happen because it's not normal.
Sure.
So we want to have men of character. Men of honor and men that have kids that have done this before.
Yeah.
So we're excited. I'm very excited about the group we have that's going to be mentoring our men. And that's pretty much what coaching is. It's just mentoring and teaching and just being there for these young men to realize they have someone who they can talk to, mm-hmm. and who they can that understands what they've been through and what they're going through. Because for some reason, young adults think that the adults in front of them, you know, haven't been through what they've been through.
Oh, yeah, so it's funny you say that. So I've waited. I've always been very active in this community, but I waited to actually run for the school board until after my kids came out. I wanted to be able to clearly say that I navigated them through it properly before I decided to take responsibility for 6,000 other kids and families who I didn't want to go in there not knowing what I was doing. So I do understand the generational thing and how you get guys who are really dedicated, and your guys walk through the program and then want to come back and give back to the program. That is very, very strong. I love the way they think and that philosophy. So leading into, I come to the schools from time to time, and sometime I look around and I see teachers with football jerseys on. So help me understand what Jersey Day was all about and how that concept come about.
Well, I started at my last school, and one day I was just searching through Twitter, and I saw this idea on Twitter. It was posted at school. I don't know where the school was from, but there was a post of a teacher with a kid, and the teacher had the jersey on, and they just made a post about it. So I did the exact same thing at the old school, and it was a situation of just, again, relationship building, mm-hmm. where you have kids and teachers, kids seeing teachers in a different light, and sometimes teachers need to see kids in a different light. So it pretty much was the kids walked around and they honored teachers that made an impact on their life.
That had to be, it was fulfilling to those teachers.
It was a huge impact. For the good and the bad, because you had certain teachers that felt wonderful, that were chosen, and you had some teachers that kind of felt some type of way that weren't chosen. And it makes adults at times think and reflect about what are you doing and how are you impacting kids. It's just a come here where you're teaching.
Pick up a check.
Teaching,
right?
Yeah, you're picking up a check, or you're just teaching content every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you, you know, breathing life into these kids, or investing in these kids and learning what they're learning who they are and what they are and what they're about. And it was great. So, you know, I brought it here last year and it was a great hit. We started off with the seniors, and then we ended up the last game of the year, we did everyone. And it was impactful to me. I think it was impactful for the staff.
Yeah. It was meaningful. I mean, the picture alone told you everything you needed to know.
Yep. And I wasn't looking for it to hit the news or get that much publicity as it did, but it just took off, and you know, people were, you know, it brought teachers to tears.
Yeah, I could imagine,
because you know, when you're in the heat of stuff, you never sit back and you never have time to reflect on what type of impact you're making. And sometimes you're not even told, you know, you never get that flower while you're alive. Everyone wants to give you that flower when you pass on. But this is where teachers can get, you know, the flower while they're alive, and know what they're doing. It matters, and it's impactful for them. And sometimes you don't see it right away. Sometimes you might see it when the kid graduates, but to get that immediate feedback and to be honored like that, and everyone sees it because you're walking around with the jersey. So
yeah,
I thought it was pretty special.
So for me, my fourth grade teacher, Miss Nancy LaForest, was the most amazing. I think we lost her maybe a year ago, but she would from time to time just reach out over the journey of my life to let me know that she was keeping up with me, mm-hmm. even after that. Yeah. And she would call my parents. When she couldn't get me on the phone, she'd call my mom and dad to tell them. And everybody didn't always see Ms. LaForest as the nicest, because she demanded excellence. Whatever level you were at, she would tell my mom, don't accept this from this kid. He's this, right? And that's how she was with all of her students. So after all these years, she would call, and of course, with her being a 40-year veteran in teaching, when I got to the board, she was calling balls and strikes. She was very proud of me, but she always gave me what her point of view was in that whole thing. So that I would have gone back probably even in high school to my fourth grade teacher and gave her my jersey if I could have, because she absolutely saw things in me that, you know, maybe I didn't always see, or at least she enhanced those and brought them out of me. So I get it. And so I get those teachers that would feel very special. Uh-oh, what'd you say, Nana?
No, that's right. I remember her very well.
Uh-huh.
She would always tell and says, don't accept no C work from him because he is more than C work. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind going to school for Mark.
Conferences.
I didn't mind going to conference for him.
All good reports.
Good report. Good report. But, you know, and you appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You appreciate that. And I thank the Lord for Miss LaForest. So yeah. He was good. And that's why the Worthington guy liked you so
Sly
well.
Worthy. Yeah, Sly.
Yeah. And he said, he's a great coach. I don't know whether you heard his interview a couple of weeks ago.
I haven't.
He was here, and boy, he had a lot of good stuff to say. They really ready to run now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So yeah. The Building the Bridge program. Mm-hmm. Now you were named the bridge coach, the Build the Bridge Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the program and how did you get honored with that, with such an accolade?
Well, I can't take credit for starting to Build the Bridge. A good friend of mine, Kahari Hicks, started it mm-hmm. in 2020 in lieu of George Floyd passing. Mm. And my buddy of mine, again, all of my friends that I talk to, and it's not a lot, but we play college football. The college locker room is a unique place because you have so many different races, you have different classes, you have different creeds, you have rich, you have poor, you have black, you have white, you have Protestant, you have Catholic, you have everything in it. And in that, you know, Kahari basically wanted to challenge football coaches and essentially wanted to bring people together. And that's what a college locker room does and college football players do. So essentially he put a challenge out to show that there are a lot more similarities and differences in people, and using a vehicle that we love so much, the game of football, you know, he issued a challenge out to coaches that coach white schools and coaches that coach inner city to come together and talk about these issues that we're having, because obviously with the killing of George Floyd, it was the country was in a bad spot.
Sure.
And we still are.
Sure.
There's a lot of things going on that shouldn't be going on. There's a lot of senseless things that's going on. But what the Build the Bridge brought was something positive between young people. And maybe not at my grandparents' stage or the generation that's maybe a little bit older than me that can change. But if we get to the young people, I think they don't see, they're not conditioned as much as the older generation is of doing things. And so we just want to empower and unify the student athletes to and communities regardless of race. We've had some initiatives that jumped in. The Cleveland Browns got involved. Mm-hmm. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a big Build the Bridge showcase camp at Cleveland Browns Stadium where we had 325 kids.
Wow. Ooh.
That's kids awesome. Of all over Northeast Ohio.
And Coach, the owner, Jimmy Haslam, has been huge in supporting local football.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, we could talk about that all day, especially some of the special things he did for us specific here in Lorain.
Canton Hall of Fame, we've done two stints with them, and we're about to do another stint with them. We bring some kids down and coaches and teams, and we have a moderated session talking about race. Mm-hmm. And then the kids get to tour the Hall of Fame. So it was powerful conversations. Cameras and news stations wanted to get a part of that and wanted to be in that, but we told them no because we wanted to make sure that it was organic. And we talked about real life stuff, stuff that people don't want to talk about. We're talking about, and we're talking about with young people,
sure.
Through the game of football. So that's pretty much the Build the Bridge and how it's impacted my life. Last year we held a Build the Bridge 7-on-7 here where we had 11 teams come up to Lorain, and we talked about the college locker room. We talked about the college locker room and how it looks and how every team here makes up the college locker room.
Absolutely.
And we had white teams, we had black teams, we had white coaches, we had black coaches. And it was a wonderful day. So I want to, again, thank those folks for coming out last year to do that. And we're going to continue to push them forward and have those difficult conversations that people sometimes shy away from.
Telling you, man, I'll say this, another one of those plugs for my town, right? In Lorain is what America should really be like and look like and feel like. And to the right of you, whether it was a Polish family, a Catholic family, a black family, a Mexican family, white family. I mean, your best buddies were just who your best buddies were in class, right? Mm-hmm. And we did not have our coaching staff reflected our community. Mm-hmm. Our teams reflected our community. And if you couldn't run the race, you didn't get in the race, right? You got left behind. And that's what it was. So I think any kid who has the privilege of growing up in a community like this can go anywhere in the world mm-hmm. and know how to get along and get through. So that's one of the proud spots of Lorain. And that's why even in the Ford Motor Company, they would send most, before you could become a plant manager, you had to come and work in the city of Lorain's plant, because if you could prepare that, you can go and do it anywhere, is the way they felt. So, yeah, Lorain proud. A lot of grit here, a lot of pride. So tell us about the Legends Clinic with the Cleveland Browns.
So we got our Legends Clinic tomorrow, actually, June 22nd. I did it last year with the Cleveland Browns. They do a summer camp with the youth. So we pretty much, and it was, we had around 400 kids last year. We handed out books. Coach McFarland was helping with that to promote, you know, summer reading. And the kids just came out and had a blast and learned some football. And Cleveland Browns have some legends that come, older players that probably our kids don't even know, come back and speak to the kids. But it's just a day for the community and these young kids to get out and enjoy some football. So tomorrow from 10 to 12, at George Daniels Stadium. Registration starts at 9:30. Just come on up. You can register your child. It's free of charge. We're not.
What's
this
the
not
age group?
From 8 to 14.
From 8 to 14.
So we're taking anybody and all kids that want to. We got the Boys and Girls Clubs being bussed in from all over Lorain, Sandusky, and some other obvious areas. So we want all the kids to come up and feel the love. It's going to be a pretty hot day tomorrow, which is be great for football.
So what if my kid goes to Elyria or Sandusky or to Clearview?
Doesn't matter. They can come.
If they're between ages of 8 and 14.
We want them there.
As long as they show up with an adult at what time in the morning?
Around 9:30. We're going to kick off around 10. Registration starts around 9:30.
Get there at 9:30, sign them up, and let them.
Let them run around and
burn
they can sleep
some
in
of that summer energy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is outstanding.
Yes, sir.
And lastly, can you talk about the upcoming Night at the Races fundraiser that you're having for our kids at St. Cyril Methodius?
Yes. Actually, we made a decision. We have a date change.
Okay.
So it's not going to be this Saturday. We did not want to compete with the International Festival.
That's a hard competition.
It's a hard. And we know it's been. I heard it's been down for 2 years. So we're expecting that weekend to be jumping.
Yeah.
So we decided to change it to July 16th.
Okay.
It's a Saturday. So hopefully those people that we can get out that wouldn't be coming June 25th can come July 16th. And like you said, it's going to be at that hall. Same time, doors open at 6. Races start at 7. Tickets, if you want tickets, they're only $15. You can reach out to Michelle Hilko. Her number is 440-785-3720. Or you can reach out to myself, and I will get you hooked up with Michelle Hilko. And my number is 216-374-1240. You can also check the Lorain City Schools website. I know it's posted on there. We are also looking for business sponsors. We're also looking for door prizes and basket donations, anything that can be donated for us to make this event. All money that we're making from this event is going back into the kids. Anyone that knows me know I like to look good. So I want to get our kids, you know, looking the same way. When we practice on Thursday, the day before the game, I want everyone to have the same shirt, same shorts on, our travel sweatsuits. We were able last year with the money we made to outfit every single one of our kids without paying a dime.
Right. So whether you go to the Night at the Races or not, whether you care about who wins the horse race or whatever, the bigger thing is we need support for our young people. What, the tickets are 15?
Tickets are 15. If you want to sponsor a horse, I believe that's $10. Mm-hmm. If you win the race, you win 50. So come on out. It's a night of fun. It's going to include food and drinks. And it's going to be my family's coming. It's going to be a night of fun.
So let's confuse Coach tomorrow and show up at 8:30, 9:30. When the kids are signing up for the other thing, just say, Coach, I just wanted to stop by and show my support. And this is my, take the ticket, give it to somebody else, or give me my ticket and I'll give it to somebody else. But stop by, see him, and just get to meet him, shake his hand, and say, I want to support our kids, and this is how I'm going to start. That would be really nice. So, y'all, let's get out there and make sure we're giving the support for our young people here at Lorain City Schools, or whatever district your kids are going to, or whatever district you live in. We need to make sure that we're making a big deal of our young people. We need to make sure. You go to some communities, especially in the South, and Friday night is like they shut down the city. They park the cars up and down the street, and they just make an entire night of the whole thing. So Let's show some of that pride with our kids as well. That's my little plug.
Yep. Yep. There are towns like that. The town shuts down.
So the students. So have your two-a-day started yet for this year? When do those start? When does your conditioning start? How can people get
conditioning
more involved?
So right now we're having workouts going throughout the summer. So middle school, if you have a son that wants to play middle school football, entering seventh or eighth grade, we are working out every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 3 to 4 at George Daniel Stadium. Also, that is on the website. We've had that on all social medias. The person in charge for that is Scott Sherwood, and his number, if you would like to contact him, is, give me 2 seconds here.
You're just putting all the business out over the radio today. I love it. I love it. We ain't hiding from
you.
Y'all give us a call. I love it.
Of course, I can't find it. So Scott Sherwood is our contact person. High school, if you have a son entering the 9th, 10th, or 11th grade, and they want to play, or 12th grade, and want to play high school football, again, our workout days are the same days, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, from 3:45 to 6:30. We go a little bit longer because we have a little bit more to do. So that's all high school athletes. And again, we're keeping days consistent. Two-a-days, our official practice starts at August 1st. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to do a community night. We haven't set the date yet. I'll get that to you so maybe we can get out on the air. Mm-hmm. Well, the community comes and meets the team, meets the staff. We fellowship together. And then possibly watching the team practice. And also we're going to have a parent meeting coming up soon where I get to meet the parents finally. I haven't had the opportunity to do that. So if you have a middle schooler, Coach Sherwood's number is 440-752-9001.
Very good. And I'm going to say to the moms, the dads, and the grandparents, so as you're walking through this summer, they've had enough time of a break now, so it's like they should be used to sleeping in, and it's time to get up and out. But some of the best friendships, some of the best team building, how to get along with people, how to win as a gang, how to lose as a gang, I learned from athletics in my junior high and high school years. So I have nothing against people who like to play the video games and stay in their room, but if you just every day in and day out, you're walking past little Johnny's room and saying, why is he just locked in his room all the time? You know, you need to get out, go have, as my mom used to say, y'all get out and let the air blow through you, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I like that.
As you need to get them out, get them connected to some athletic programs in their schools. They will thank you for it in the end because it teaches them beyond your discipline. It teaches them how to roll as a unit, how to do things as a win. And when one of us fall, we all fall. When we win, we all win. Some of those great lessons in life were taught right there on the basketball, football, wrestling, field, courts, mat. So if you're thinking for something to get them out of the house this summer, that's a good place to start. And I played all sports. I mean, from track to in the summer. I'm telling you, my seventh grade year, I went into conditioning for football. Mm-hmm. Then from football, I was a week late to get to basketball because the season wasn't quite over. They were already conditioning. We jumped right into basketball. Mm-hmm. And right from that, we went right to track. I didn't play much baseball in high school, but we went right to track. And then we got to rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. And it kept me active. It kept my grades up.
Yep.
Because I knew I had to get good grades to be able to participate,
yep,
right? So
mm-hmm,
one just watched the other. Yep. And some of my friends, we all looked out for one another there. So we didn't have time to get into the foolishness,
yep,
because we were athletes. So
yep,
that's very important.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Any parting words, Coach?
No, I appreciate this. Again, I'm very humbled and blessed to be here. Lorain, please come out and support us. We're trying to put a product on the field that's going to be that you're going to be proud of. And again, raising our kids is got to be it takes a village. And my coaching staff and myself are nothing but an extension of our parents. What our parents want for our kids is what we want for them as well. And like Mark just said, that the game of football, the power of sport is so important right now with everything that's going on in the world. Get your son around some positive, influential people that's going to direct them into the right path of where they need to be and where they need to go.
Amen. Well, Coach Crilly, thank you so much for all you do, and thank you for spending the time with our young people and in this point helping our young men grow. I mean, our young men grow up to be real men, our older men, and even with the trainers. I know you got lady trainers or young ladies in there trying to learn how to tape ankles and make sure when people get hurt that they're looking after them. Mm-hmm. So there's something for everybody. Yep. So don't be afraid to just come and ask. And if we're already filled up, we'll take your name and put you on the waiting list. If you want to be involved, we'll find something for you to do.
Yep. Tracy does a great job. Yep.
Thank you so much, Coach, for coming to see us.
Thanks for having me.
All right,
appreciate
you
it.
You have a good day.
Well,
WNZN, Lorain, Ohio.